It's with much thanksgiving that we have assembled in the house of the Lord this evening. We have come this night at Cool Springs for the purpose of ordaining Brother Tracy Bryant and Brother Caleb Howell for the office of a deacon. We're very thankful for all of our friends and all of our visitors who've come to be with us, and do hope and pray that the Lord will be with us during this time together, that all things will be done decently and in order, and that the Lord will see fit to grace us with His presence this evening. Because the Cool Springs has set these two brethren aside for this office, the church has sent out letters and asked that our ordained elders come and help us and assist us in this matter and form themselves into a presbytery. So at this time, I'd like to ask that all of our ordained elders, I think most of them are already here, but if there are any that are not, I'd like to ask the ordained elders to sit over here on my right. And we do also would like to invite our deacons that have a mind to come and sit over here on our on my left. And I'll give you a few moments to do that before we proceed with this business. Elders over here and deacons over here. Before we begin with the ordination, I think it would behoove us to go to the Lord in prayer. If you're bowing your own way, we'd like to ask Elder Charles Garrett, if you would, to lead us in prayer and ask the Lord to bless us in our endeavors this evening. Brother Charles.
Pray. Our Heavenly Father, our God, we thank Thee, O Lord, for this day. Bless us with a wonderful day. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for this occasion tonight. The church is assembled to ordain two brothers in the office of deacon. We thank You for each church that's represented here tonight, each family has turned aside from the cares of the world here tonight. Lord, we just thank You for each one. We thank You for Christ Jesus our Lord and the hope that we have in Him. We thank You for revealing Him to us. And Father, we thank Thee for all Thy many blessings. We pray, Lord, tonight I would be with those that had a desire to be with us but could not. Keep us there in permanence. Father, we thank You for the natural rain that is falling in this area. Father, we look around and we need much more rain. Not only do we need a natural rain, Heavenly Father, we need a spiritual rain. Help us always to be thankful and grateful for all Your many blessings, for there are so many. Lord, we deserve justice. We ask You for mercy. We pray for the two brothers tonight and say that we ordain these two brothers and I'll continue to bless them, their walk of life, their families. Bless Cool Springs Church. They are men of good report, and we thank You for them. This congregation and others have raised up in good character. And we pray for them. And we pray for them. Tonight, Heavenly Father, may this be done in a way that will please Thee. We follow the Scriptures. And Lord, when we leave tonight, we can leave saying what a good day it's been to be in the house of the Lord. Thank You for all Your blessings, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Now that we have formed ourselves into a presbytery, the first item before the presbytery is to elect a moderator for the presbytery. Do you, brethren, have a mind upon this?
I'd like to move that you serve as moderator.
Thank you. Second. Thank you, Brother Dan, Brother Raven. There's been a move and second that I serve as moderator. Is there any discussion? If not, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same sign. Do any of you, brethren, have an objection to me making the appointments for the ordination? If not, the next item for the presbytery is to elect a clerk. I've asked Elder Frank King if he would mind being our clerk, and he said he does not mind, so I'd like to ask him to serve as our clerk. The next is to elect one to interrogate the church as to the qualifications of the church's satisfaction with these men's qualifications. I'd like to ask Elder Franklin Bryan if he would do that. The next item is to have one interrogate the candidates. I'd like to ask Elder Tommy Sarber if he would to interrogate the candidates. The next item is to have one offer the ordination prayer. I'd like to ask Elder Stan Bryan if he would to do that. And the last item is to have a charge delivered. And I'd like to ask Elder Gary Hall if he would. And then I will try to follow up as well in delivering the charge. Are all of these appointments satisfactory to you, brethren? The church has already voted and asked Brother Mark Moore if he would, to serve as the church spokesman. So at this time, I'd like to ask Brother Mark if he would to deliver Brother Caleb and Brother Tracy up front to the chairs, and also to sit in one himself as he is interrogated by Brother Franklin Bryan. Go ahead, Brother Mark.
1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, after he's talked about the bishops and their qualifications, he said, "Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith and a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, and let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their own children and their own house well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Now, the qualifications of bishop and a deacon, I understand, is not exactly the same. Seems like I've heard it said that if a man can't offer public prayer, he can't be a deacon. But, you know, it's hard for some people to offer public prayers. It's hard for some people to even speak in public. I've been at it for more than 40 years, and I still get nervous. And sometimes people get nervous listening to me. But I looked up some of these words in the dictionary. And, you know, grave, can we speak of a grave like a grave out in the cemetery sometimes? And we all know what that means. But it can also mean sober. Not necessarily that you're not a drunkard. We all know what a drunkard is. It's a person that overindulges, evidently, in alcohol. And I've seen drunk people. I've seen some drunk people that sit around and smile. And I've seen others that all they want to do is fight. This grave can mean sober, serious, solemn, thoughtful. Would you say tonight that these brethren are serious in their life?
Yes.
Solemn and thoughtful? That says not double-tongued. That can mean not being sincere. Sometimes people say one thing to you and then they go to somebody else and they say exactly the opposite. They're not dependable. Sometimes people tell things that's not true. If I was to ask this congregation tonight, if anybody here that's never told something that wasn't true, would you raise your hand? Ever lied? You know what that makes you? If you ever lied, it makes you a liar. You ever stole anything? It makes you a thief. And we know that's not right. Deceitful. Now we know they're not to be given to much wine. He didn't say you couldn't have a little. Well, somebody might say, how much is a little? A quart or a gallon or what? I don't know exactly. You know, at communion, we use wine, and we use just a little. Heard about a man one time that was in a communion service, and they passed the wine, and he drank his little, and he said, pour me a little more. Said, I sure do love me, Lord. But we're not to be overindulged in things like that. Filthy lucre can mean, you know, filthy. We've all heard that word filthy. We might have heard something like he's filthy, or maybe she's filthy, or their house is filthy, or their clothes is filthy. The car is filthy. We've heard that in a lot of ways. I couldn't find filth to lucre right together in the dictionary, but I found filth and I found lucre. I heard about a man one time that told another man, he said, I heard you accuse me of being filthy, of being guilty of filth to lucre. He's talking about getting more riches. Would you say tonight, Brother Mark, their only desire is to just get more earthly riches and more money? I wouldn't think that's what their gifts are. And getting money and just getting wealth. Being like the man that one time was real wealthy, everybody thought he was. And somebody asked him one time, how much is enough? And he answered, a little more. You know, that's our nature in the first Adam. We can be selfish and we just want more and think only of ourselves. But I believe these brethren tonight, I've known y'all for about 2 weeks. I'm not going to ask you your age. I don't even know your age. But I can tell you what I have. I've known them since they were little boys. I might have even been guilty of holding them, as long as they wasn't crying or something, and kicking and screaming. But far as I can tell, they're honest and they're sincere. And I believe they'll have the church of heart. And one thing I want to tell you, though, you got to make sure the grounds are kept up and the doors are open when the meeting time comes. Y'all know better than that. There's probably a lot of folks think that's your job. Some of the rest of the members can help look after the grounds, and we can hire it done. Anybody can open the doors and turn the lights on. I'll tell you something we can all do is pray. Prayer is important. We're to pray without ceasing, pray and not to faint. We had a brother preach our meeting down near Wickham, Georgia this weekend, Brother Bobby Willis. We were sitting at the table today eating, and we was talking about prayer, and I mentioned in Luke 18, you know, when this poor widow came to this unjust judge, wasn't a just judge, he was unjust. And she said, it bends me of mine adversary. And he finally said, though I fear not God, neither regard man, yet because this poor widow, troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest for her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect which cry unto him day and night? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. That's when he come, he find faith on the earth. I believe you ought to be praying for the church. I believe you've been praying for it. Your light will be shining. I don't mean to be charging tonight, but I'm fixing to sit down. Y'all worry and pray. I'm going to take it too much time, I know. But do you think their wives would be what the Bible says?
Yes.
I know you do. I'm satisfied, brethren. Y'all have anything else tonight you wish to say? You don't.
I think probably in most cases, just as Brother Franklin asked the church, that we're pretty well familiar that the church is satisfied or they've never got to this point as far as beliefs. But I will ask you a few questions. You can just answer both in unison if you'd like. In our articles of faith, though we use them as a base, we know that they're based in the Bible, and that's the reason that we have them as kind of a summary. But do you both believe that there's one true and living God, and that there are three persons in the Godhead? Do you believe that the Old and New Testament of the 1611 King James Version are the only inspired written word of God? And do you believe that the New Testament scriptures are our only rule of faith and practice? We believe in the doctrine of eternal and particular election. Do you believe in that? Do you believe in the doctrine of original sin? We believe in the doctrines of man's inability to recover himself from the fallen state he was in by nature of his own free will and ability. You believe that men have that ability to recover themselves. Okay. We believe that sinners are justified in the sight of God only by the imputed righteousness of Christ. Do you believe that?
Yes.
We believe that God's elect are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called by the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that?
Yes.
We believe that the saints are preserved in grace and shall never fall finally away. Do you believe that?
Yes.
We believe that baptism and the Lord's Supper are ordinances of Jesus Christ, and that feet washing was an example set forth by him, and that only true believers are the only subjects of these ordinances and examples. We believe that all peace-loving Primitive Baptists will enjoy a blessing by practicing feet washing, and we further believe that the only true mode of baptism is by immersion. Do you both believe that? We believe there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Do you believe that? We believe that the punishment of the wicked is everlasting and the joys of the righteous eternal. Do you believe that? And we believe that only ordained ministers who have come under the imposition of hands by a regular authorized presbytery only have the right to administer ordinances. Do you believe that? Okay, I'm going to ask you a question that I want you to answer individually, if you would please. There was a church here in this state recently that voted in their conference that any decision of the church needed to be taken through the entire conference and not handled by the deacons. What do you believe to be the responsibility of a deacon? Brother Tracy?
Responsibility of a deacon to handle the financial affairs of the church. Deacons, I don't think all of every decision has to come before the church that the deacon is entrusted with certain make certain decisions.
Okay. Brother Caleb?
I also believe that the deacons are supposed to take care of the finances and that the church makes those decisions as a body, not left up to the deacons.
Okay. I'm satisfied with what they believe. You all have questions you want to ask?
I'd like to ask Brother Mark, is the church satisfied with the work of the presbytery thus far?
We're satisfied.
Thank you, Brother Mark. This time, I'd like to ask that the two candidates kneel here before the table and ask the two brethren come and gather around for the laying on of hands while Brother Dan offers the ordination prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we trust that we come to Thee with great humility in our hearts. We pray, Father, that Thou wouldst grant us first the spirit of prayer, that we might be enabled to approach a throne of Thy amazing grace on this hour. We thank Thee, Father, for the church that Thou hast blessed us to live in now for many years. And we thank Thee, Father, for these two brethren. We thank Thee for their lives and the light that we feel that we've seen shine in their lives of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that Thou wouldst give them more wisdom. We know that deacons are supposed to have wisdom and to be full of the Holy Ghost. And we beg Thee in the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that Thou wouldst fill their minds with wisdom and fill their lives with the Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, that if it could be in accordance with thy holy and divine will, that thou wouldest bless them to persevere in the kingdom of God as long as they live in the world. Help them, O Lord, to fight the good fight of faith, and help them, dear God, to be instructors in their families and even in the church. We thank thee once again for thy church and for thy kingdom that thou hast given us. And we pray, Father, that all of us might live in such a way that we would let the light of Christ that we feel is in our lives shine out, that others would desire to follow thee. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. We thank thee once again for these brethren. And pray, O Lord, that thou wouldest bless them all the days of our lives. Bless their wives. Help them to be faithful to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Brother Mark, if you would please deliver Sister Elaine and also Sister Amanda to sit with their husbands. Charge is being delivered.
One of my favorite New Testament characters outside of the apostles is a man by the name of Stephen. Stephen sat where you sat at one time. Stephen was one of the original seven deacons that was set aside for that ministry in the New Testament church. Stephen's very name is glorious. In the New Testament, we have the word crowns in many places in the Bible. And there are two different Greek words that's translated crown. One of them is the Greek word diadem, which means an inherited crown, such as kings would inherit down from one generation to another. It was inherited. It was not one that was earned. There was one, however, that was called the Stephanus crown, taken from the name Stephen itself, and it was one that was earned. Stephen was an individual who earned that name and earned that title because he was faithful unto death. In the sixth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, we find that the reason that these men were set aside for the office of a deacon was, first of all, because there was a spiritual deficiency. The apostles were wise enough to recognize that deficiency. There was such a large number of Jews that was gathered in Jerusalem at that time, and this was shortly after Passover, who required daily sustenance and had to be taken care of. You remember there was men like Barnabas who went and sold their possessions and laid their money at the feet of the apostles. And the apostles were taking care of feeding all of these folks. And they were not able to give themselves to the Word of God and to prayer. And as a result of that, they said that we're going to look out seven men, and gave the descriptions of those that they were going to seek after. The first one that is mentioned is Stephen. And he's described in more detail than any of the others. And the general term that is used to describe Stephen is fullness. I find five different places in Acts chapter 6 where he's described as being full of something. Now, I've heard of people that was full of it, but it was not full of what they're talking about here. Heard one time about a Texan and a Georgian that went to New York City. And the Texan was about 7 feet tall, well over 300 pounds, huge man. And while he was up there, the two men were business trip, while they were up there, the Texan died, fell over, was dead of a heart attack. And they wanted to prepare his body to ship it back to Texas. And the undertaker told him, we don't have a casket big enough for this fella. His Georgia friend told him, said, just stick a pin in him. You can put him in a matchbox, send him back to Texas. Some folks is full of hot air. And that's about all. But that's not the type of fullness that he's describing here. If you'll notice in verse 3, the first thing that he was full of wisdom. The second one that he describes, he was full of faith. Thirdly, he was full of the Holy Ghost. Fourthly, he was full of the Word of God. And finally, in verse 8, he was not only full of faith, but he says he was full of power as well. I would charge you, brethren, to take note of this man. He's a wonderful example of what you need to be. And I will assure you that if you will try your best to fill your life with these five things that he mentioned here, in fact, four of them, the fifth one will follow. He says, first of all, wisdom. There's going to be cases, there's going to be situations that's going to come up in the church, and you're going to scratch your head, and you're going to wonder, what should I do? What should we do? And the answer is not going to be obvious, because there's a lot of gray areas and a lot of things that face the church. But James tells us, if any man lack wisdom, let him pray. Let him ask of the Lord. You try to fill your heart and your mind with wisdom. I said a few moments ago that he was full of the Word of God. I would charge you to read the Word of God. Don't just depend upon Brother Philip. He's an able teacher. But don't just depend upon him. Read the Word of God. Fill your mind with the Word of God. Because if you don't know what the Bible says about a situation, you won't know how to handle that situation. And the Bible is a clear answer to all things and all the problems that you will ever face. A man full of faith. I remember shortly after you all built this building here at Cool Springs, the brethren at my home church at Pleasant Plains says, we need a new building too. And we did. Some of the brethren said, we can't do it. We're just a bunch of poor folks. We're just farmers. And we don't have the resources to build a new building. Brother Little was the pastor, same builder of this building, told us that he'd do everything it cost. We tried to get up some money, and we did get up a little money, and finally talked the church into going ahead. And you know what? By the time we finished that building and had the dedication, everything was paid for. There was people outside the church in the community that contributed. And there were some men, there were some deacons of that church that have enough faith to believe that if the need was there, that the means would be provided. Don't be pessimistic. Don't be negative. Because if the Lord is leading a church in a certain way, He in His providence will never lead you where His grace won't provide for you. Be a man of faith. Trust in the Lord. Even when it looks dark, trust in the Lord. Be full of faith. The fifth one that he mentions here, he was then full of power. I'll assure you, if you're full of the Word of God, you're full of wisdom, you're full of the Holy Ghost. By the way, the Holy Ghost, be full of the Holy Ghost. Another place, Paul tells us, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, we go to the service station to get our cars filled with gas. You better know of anywhere you can go and tank up on the Holy Spirit. That requires the presence of the Lord. That requires living close to the Lord to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And by the way, the word fill there primarily means to be controlled by the Holy Ghost. Over in Luke chapter 4, there was a time when Jesus Christ came into a synagogue and he stood up and read. And after he read, he preached a little short sermon. And the Bible tells us the Jews were filled with envy. They were filled with wrath. And as a result of that, tried to take him out and kill him. They took him to a ledge and would have thrown him over had he not slipped out of their presence. They were filled with wrath. That means they were controlled by the anger and the wrath that was in their hearts and mind. When Stephen was filled with the Holy Ghost, it means he was controlled by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is an ever-present aid. He lives within you, in your heart. Be controlled by the Holy Ghost. When somebody says something negative about you, be controlled by the Holy Ghost. When you want to retaliate, be controlled by the Holy Ghost. And then you'll be filled with power. There were some people who stood against Stephen And the Bible tells us in verse 10 that they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. They saw that he was a man of wisdom. You can be filled with wisdom, but then respond in the wrong way and the wrong attitude. They couldn't resist not only what he said, but the way that he said it as well. Be very, very careful in your situations with the church that not only you say the right thing, but you say it the right way as well. And then they still brought up accusations against Stephen. They said that he spoke blasphemous words, that he spoke against Moses. I want you to see how God vindicated this man. The Bible tells us in the last verse of Acts chapter 6, they brought him before the council. They were interrogating him. The Bible says, and all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. I may not can prove this from the scriptures, but I firmly believe it, that there was a glow that was on the face of this man. They said he was against Moses. God shows him that he's not against Moses. He's with Moses. Moses, when he came down off that mountain, his face glowed. And he's showing, God's showing, vindicating, he's not against Moses. He's just like Moses. He's teaching, he believes in the same God that Moses did. I charge you, be willing to forgive. The last thing that we read about Stephen, by the way, he was so filled with the Word of God that he delivers one of the longest messages in the New Testament about the history of the Jewish nation. And after he was concluded, the Bible tells us that he being full, well, tells us first of all that they took him out and they were cut to the heart. They were condemned. The Jews were condemned. They gnashed on him with their teeth. But he being full of the Holy Ghost, notice that word over and over, he was full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand. And then they took stones. They led him out. And they took stones and stoned him to death. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine a more horrific death than being stoned to death. But he had the Spirit of Jesus Christ in him. And just as Jesus' dying words almost was, forgive them. Likewise, Stephen, he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay this not to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Brethren, we're living in a day and age, thank goodness, that we're not called upon to die for Christ as Stephen was, but we are called upon to live for him. And if you live for Christ and serve him, the rest of these things will fall in place. May you be filled with the Holy Ghost, with wisdom, with the Word of God, and with power. May God add his blessings.
Now I know why Brother Gary insisted that he go first. He might steal your points, but you ain't going to steal his. I firmly believe that times like these are the most solemn of all occasions in the Lord's church. And the reason they are so solemn is because you brethren got to experience just a few minutes ago something, as Brother Gary pointed out, has been going on for centuries. And every time we have an ordination, I think about this point, that if the church is perpetual, the way the Lord promised that it is, and if the church is carried on from generation to generation, just as the Lord promised that it would, the hands that were laid on you, those men had hands laid on them, and those men had hands laid on them, until you get all the way back to the beginning, the very apostles themselves who first laid hands on people who had their hands laid on them by Jesus Christ. brethren, you are charged this day, if I don't say anything else, by what you just experienced, to carry on in the same way that men for centuries have been carrying on before you. If I don't say anything else, know that you're in a line of men who've been charged with the church's well-being, with the church's good, and that the church has confidence that you will do so. Now, having said that, I'd also like to tell you, brethren, something personally before I investigate into God's Word. Because there are many people here who are visiting among us, and I want to make sure, not for your sake, but just for everybody's sake, that we understand why it is that we're here. Brother Caleb, your father is a deacon in this church. You are not sitting where you're sitting because of who your father is. Brother Tracy, your grandfather was the pastor of this church for many years, but you are not sitting here because you are his grandson. You're both sitting here for the very same reason that men like Stephen sat where they sat some 2,000 years ago. Because a church full of people is a church that has needs. On that day, they had a need, and they ordained men to fill that need. This church has a need, and this church has set you aside to fill that need. It's not based on who your parents are. It's not based on where you've come from. It's based on what the church sees in you, brethren. Now, having said that, remember this also, that you have a great advantage where you are right now. In the Scriptures, we read in Lamentations 3 and about verse 27, where Jeremiah says, "It is good that a man bear the yoke in his youth." Now, we live in a day and age when youth and old age are a bit relative, but you brethren, by natural standards, are quite young. The Bible says that that's a blessing. The Bible says that that's a good thing, because it is good that a man bear the yoke in his youth, because you are able to do things due to your age. You're able to do things and carry on longer because you're young. And this church expects and hopes for a lot of good service for many years out of you brethren. I would encourage you to use your youth not as a disadvantage, but as an advantage. Paul told Timothy, a very young minister, he said, "Let no man despise thy youth. You may be young, but take all the advantages of youth and use them." Granted, some of these older, I won't look at any of them so they won't think I'm accusing them, but some of these older heads over here, I'm not looking at them, but some of these older heads over here have experience and wisdom and use their experience and their wisdom. But realize that they're also counting on your youth because it has advantages. You can go longer. You can get up earlier, stay up later. You can carry on longer than some of them can. Again, I'm not going to look at them. So it's good that a man bear the yoke in his youth. And it's good that you brethren are young. And the church hopes for many years of profitable service out of you. Having said that, you've already heard from Brother Franklin, some of the things from the qualifications of a deacon that the Scriptures teach us about. But there are two things in 1 Timothy 3 that Paul mentions about a deacon that I think are worth bringing up at this time. I feel impressed to do so. One of them is found in verse 9. It's probably the most neglected qualification by people by and large of what a deacon should do. Most of the time, as Brother Franklin brought up, they think you're supposed to be able to cut the grass, or they think you're supposed to be able to replace light bulbs when they need to be replaced. But this is, in my opinion, one of the best and most important examples of what a deacon should be able to do. 1 Timothy 3 and 9 says that he holds the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. This church has seen out of you brethren a pure conscience, that you have a mind and a spirit that is not easily tainted with evil thoughts, that you have a conscience that knows the difference between right and wrong. You have thoughts inside and feelings inside that you know when things are good and when things are not. But to hold the mystery of the faith in that pure conscience means that you understand what this church stands for. You understand what this church should do in this world. You understand what she represents, and you're willing to hold that. Both of you men are married. And many years ago, however many years ago it was, I'm not going to ask you to recite your anniversaries for us this evening, but however many years ago you were married, you pledged to these women that sit next to you to have and to hold from this day forward. You pledged that she would be the love of your life, to have and to hold from that day forward, forsaking all others. And brethren, the charge before you this evening is to have and to hold what this church stands for the rest of your life, to be an example to all these others, that whenever someone says, who walks the walk that the church talks, that they point to brethren like you. You hold that in a pure conscience. You're willing to die for it, if necessary. The next thing I'd like to mention from the qualifications is what Paul says at the very end, just a few verses later. After he lays out all the qualifications of a deacon, he says, but they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. The church has shown that they have confidence in you, brethren. And the reason the church has confidence is because you have used this office well. That doesn't mean that you've been a deacon before now, but you've already been doing the things that we expect the deacons to do. You've already been proven. You're already doing the things. We're not asking you to do anything you haven't already been doing. We're asking you to carry on in this office and keep doing these things well, because you've already used this well and purchased to yourself a good degree. And the end result of that is that you'll have great boldness in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's plenty in this world to scare us. There's plenty in this world to make us sorrowful. But I assure you, if you hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, if you keep trying to do what's in the church's best interest, the Lord will grant you great boldness. I had really intended to use the last verse of Acts chapter 6. Brother Gary just about took every bit of juice out of that verse. But you know, Stephen was called upon to do something that I'm sure on the day of his ordination he might not have been sure he could do. I mean, if you were charged tomorrow before an earthly council and you thought you might die as a result of it, I don't think any one of us knows for sure how we'd react in that day. But when Stephen was charged, when they were bringing false accusation against him, he had the face of an angel. Now, Brother Gary said he could almost prove what that was like. I think I can prove what that was like. Whenever somebody asked me to describe my bride before we were married to people who had never seen her, I said, she's angelic. Now, they may have not known what that meant, but I knew what that meant. Because there was something about her that if nobody else saw, I saw. That if it meant nothing to anybody else, it meant something to me. And if this church means to you more than your very own life, people will notice that about you. Because even though they might not have seen in my wife what I saw in her, glad that my high school and college friends didn't, quite honestly. But even if they couldn't see in her what I saw in her, they saw something in me they'd never seen before. They said, we've never seen you talk about anybody this way. We've never seen you act about anybody this way. And brethren, if the church is in your best interest, and you do everything in your power to serve her to the very best of your ability, it will make a difference in the way you look to other people. They'll see something in you that's different. They might not ever see the beauty and the glory of this place, but they'll know it's made an impression on you. In the face of trial, in the face of adversity, they'll still say, he's willing to die for that very thing if necessary. Nobody on that day could speak against what Stephen believed. They might not have believed it, but they couldn't say he didn't believe it, because he showed it and was willing to die for it. When it comes to being the wife of an officer in the church, I think back in my own personal case, of just how much harder my life would have been to try to serve the church without my wife. Because there is a lot to be required of you. Because the church will require some of his time that you wish you had. But you know, my wife doesn't complain. She doesn't grumble. She doesn't say, "Why don't you just spend time with me and let them figure that out?" And the fact that she is willing to say, "Go and encourage me," means more than I have the words to express. You both have been given to these brethren as a blessing. Solomon tells us in Proverbs that if a man findeth a wife, he findeth a good thing. You're a good thing in their lives. And you're an even better thing now that he will have extra burdens, have extra problems. There's going to be things that he knows about and he has to deal with that he never knew before. When you hear some of the problems in a church, I'll confess to you, there's times that I wished I was just a member. I wish I was just a member and I didn't know about any of the problems. I could still look at everybody with wings and halos and they're all perfect. And they go home and read their Bibles, get on their knees and say their prayers and go to bed and don't have a bad thought about anybody. I know you know that's not the way it is. But it's harder when you come face to face with these realities. And he's going to have problems. He's going to have sorrows. And a lot of times, you'll be the only one this side of glory who can cheer him up. And it's your responsibility to help him in that. To help him fulfill his functions the best he can. And part of that's just being a good, cheerful helpmeet unto him. Sometimes all my wife has to do is walk in the room and lay her head on my shoulder. And that, after some of the things that I've had to deal with, means more than anything else. He may not need a whole lot of words. He may just need your presence. He may just need your company. But always remember this. As much as he loves the church, as much as he has to do for the church, he does not love you any less, but he just has time that's going to be required of him. And understand also that all those times you wish that he was with you, some of those times he wishes he was with you too, because there'll be problems that he has to deal with. I'll close by saying this. I realize that Christ spoke this in Matthew 10, talking to his ministers. But I think it applies to all of us as we go through life in the kingdom. Christ told his ministers in Matthew 10, he said, "Be ye wise as serpents, yet harmless as doves." You know, that's a hard combination to hit. To be wise and as crafty as a serpent might be, yet be just as harmless in all of your motives as a dove would be. Because you'll be required to stand like a man, to be strong, to be vigilant, to be sober, to actually go out to battle, if need be, for the cause of Christ and for the cause of his kingdom. But at the same time, still do everything with charity. Still do everything with love. It's a hard combination to hit. But always remember this. The wisest, craftiest, yet most harmless person that ever lived is Jesus Christ. And he's left us a rich example to read from, to learn from, to study, to understand. And I assure you, if you keep your head here, reading about your Savior, he'll bless you in that, and bless you to be wise in your endeavors, and yet harmless at the same time, to be bold as men, but still doing all things with charity. I pray the Lord's richest blessings go with all of you. And remember, there's plenty of people who love you, there's plenty of people that have expressed confidence in you, and there's also plenty of people that are praying for you. We love you. Pray God's blessings be upon you. At this time, I would like to ask Brother Mark, if the church is satisfied with all the presbytery has done to this point?
Very satisfied.
Thank you, Brother Mark. Is the presbytery itself satisfied with the work that has been done to this point? If so, we will hear the reading of the presbytery minutes whenever Brother Clark is ready. You feel free to come up here, Brother Frank, if you like.
Pursuant to previous arrangements and announcement, Cool Springs Primitive Baptist Church assemble in conference with prayer being offered by Elder Charles Garrett, Elder Philip Conley moderating, stated that the purpose of the meeting to ordain to the office of deacon Brother Caleb Howell and Brother Tracy Bryant, whom the church in regular conference on February 5, 2011 had previously appointed to this office. After questioning the church if they were of the same mind and received an affirmative answer, Brother Mark Moore was appointed as spokesman for the church to answer any questions answered by the presbytery and turn him over to the presbytery at the proper time. The church then asked that the presbytery be formed, which was done and organized as follows. Elder Philip Connolly appointed as moderator of the presbytery. Elder Frank King appointed as clerk of the presbytery. Elder Franklin Bryant appointed to examine the church as to the fitness and the qualifications of the candidate. Elder Tommy Sarba appointed to examine the candidate. Elder Dan Bryant appointed to offer the ordination prayer. Elder Gary Hall appointed to deliver the charge, and Elder Philip Conley. The presbytery being organized, the candidate was now escorted up and seated by before the presbytery by the appointed spokesman, who himself was seated beside the candidate. All questions being answered satisfactorily, the ordination prayer was offered while the presbytery present laid hands upon the candidate. The wife of the newly ordained deacon was requested to and was escorted up and seated beside her husband while the charge was being delivered. And that's both. I'm just too formal with both wives and both candidates. The moderator of the presbytery then asked if the church was satisfied with their work, and the church answered the affirmative. The moderator of the presbytery then officially turned Deacon Caleb Howell and Deacon Tracy Bryant back over to the church, fully ordained and authorized to function in all the sacred duties of his office. The moderator of the church now took over, and by move and second, it was voted to have this record of procedure of this ordination adopted and included in the church records. Then while a song was sung, the members of the church extended their right hand to Deacon Caleb Howell and Tracy Bryant and their wives as a token of their appreciation of them. Brothers, sisters, friends extended the right hand, bidding them Godspeed. And we hadn't got down to the closing it with the prayer yet and then the signing. And this was on May 29, 2011. So this is the reading of the record and the procedure.
I realize we haven't quite got to all of that yet. You brethren have heard the reading of the presbytery minutes. Do you brethren have any additions or corrections that need to be added to it? If not, will someone entertain a motion for this to be entered into the record at Cool Springs and for this presbytery to be dissolved? Thank you, Brother Raven. Is there a second?
I second it.
Been a motion made and seconded to that effect. Is there any discussion on the matter? If not, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed by saying sign.
Borrow your pen.
But at this time, we'd like to have a handshake. I'm sorry, before I finish, Brother Mark, is the church satisfied with the work that's gone? Church is satisfied to the work to this point, so we will turn these brethren over as duly ordained deacons and ask that you come and bid them Godspeed at this time. On behalf of the church, I'd like to thank all of our visitors who've come to be with us. We very much appreciate your presence and your fellowship, much more than words can express. Are there any announcements that claim the attention of the church before we're dismissed by prayer? If not, we'll look to the Lord and be dismissed. Brother Raven, Lord, do you mind asking the Lord to dismiss us, please?
You bow with us. Almighty God and our blessed eternal Heavenly Father,
we bow in thy holy presence at the close of this another delightful service, in which we have laid hands on men to the office of deacon, and we pray for them, dear Lord, and their families, that they may serve well. We pray for Cool Springs Church. We pray for Brother Philip, and thou bless him, O Lord, as he comes before them and sees to their needs from time to time. Bless each home that's represented, the parts of home that's here, Lord, today. And if not being too much boasting, dear Lord, we pray that thou would be with this person and this bow before thee, this time to impugn under thy grace and matchless name. Thou hast been so good to me, and I thank thee for all the blessings. Bless all who desire thee to pray for. And Heavenly Father, remember that we help us to remember where our food comes from. The refreshments that shall be served, dear Lord, we thank thee for them. And pray that we might use them to strengthen our bodies to better serve thee. We humbly ask these blessings in the name of Jesus. And we pray. Amen.
Amen.